Amen. Thank you, brother. We're back to our Bibles, and we're moving to Acts chapter 16, and we're commencing to read at verse 14. Acts 16 and verse 14. Let's hear the Lord's word as we read together. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Why? Because that's what the Lord Jesus would do. For nearly 30 years, the Lord Jesus lived in his own home in Nazareth. Not a lot is known about his early life, apart from the fact that the Lord worked as a carpenter alongside Joseph, his stepfather. We take care to say that Joseph was his stepfather because Jesus' real father was the God of heaven. God himself stated this truth very clearly. After the Lord Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, God the Father announced in a loud voice from heaven, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was a wonderful thing to say. Jesus was not just man. He was the Son of God. This truth of Jesus' sonship became the crucial point in his life and in all that he did. We can only say that he is perfect because he is God. We can only say that he is all-powerful because he is God. This became the battleground for all the opposition that the Lord Jesus endured, and it started with the devil. Immediately after the Lord Jesus was baptized, he was led of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. He was led there so that the devil would tempt him. A battle took place between the Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God, and the devil, who is the continual enemy of God. The Lord lived in that dry, howling desert place for 40 days with no food. he must have been so hungry and would have been so weak in body. It was at that time of bodily weakness that the devil appeared before the Lord in the wilderness to tempt the Lord Jesus. The devil wanted to make the Lord Jesus to disobey God and to obey himself. The devil wanted to make the Lord a slave to his evil ways. So when the Lord was so hungry after fasting for 40 days, the devil tempted the Lord to serve him. The devil suggested that the Lord use his power to turn stones into bread so he could end his hunger. Could the Lord do that? Yes, he had the power to turn stones into bread. But it was not the right thing to do. It was not the will of God. So the Lord Jesus answered very boldly, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:3. Jesus was going to obey his Father. He would not obey the devil, no matter how nice it would be to have fresh bread made from stones that looked like loaves of bread. Jesus was not going to listen to the commands of God's enemy, the devil, who is a liar and a deceiver. The Lord strongly resisted the devil by quoting those words from the Bible, "Man shall not live by bread alone." The Lord used the Bible as his weapon to fight against the devil. We should do the same. We should resist the lies of the devil with the truth of the Bible. The Lord Jesus believed the Bible and turned it against the evil one. That is why we are told to hold fast to the Bible. We should learn key Bible verses, which are always filled with truth, and use them to withstand the suggestions of Satan, which are always lies. Having failed in his first attempt to make the Lord serve him, the devil tried again. This time, he took the Lord up to the very highest point of the Jewish temple and challenged the Lord to cast himself down and trust in the angels to save him from harm. This time, the devil even quoted a Bible promise that the angels would not fail to keep him safe. Many people would be confused by the devil quoting a Bible promise to have them serve him. They might fall for the devil's trap and start to listen to the evil commands of the devil because he was using or misusing the Bible. Do you think that the Lord Jesus fell for this trap? No way. The Lord was too wise and too obedient to rebel against his Father's will. Jesus was not going to serve the devil, no matter what part of the Bible he quoted. Jesus knew to resist the devil with a clear Bible text. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The Lord followed the principle that if it is wrong before God his Father, then it is always wrong, no matter who says it. Jesus would not become the slave of the devil. And so that's why we are calling all Canadians back to the Bible, to be a Bible reader, to take up the challenge, to read John's Gospel and the Book of Romans. I assure you, you will never be the same again. And now we're moving to our message today. I trust that you will stay with us right through the program as again we let the Bible speak.
In this 16th chapter of Acts, we have four different conversions. Timothy, the conversion of a son. Lydia, the conversion of a saleswoman. The damsel, whom we're going to look at today, the conversion of a sorcerer or sorceress. The jailer, the conversion of a Roman soldier. And you'll learn here that the gospel makes disciples of all kinds of men and women. And this is the answer to spreading the gospel around the world. We are to preach the gospel to every creature, to all people. And it's here at Philippi that the Apostle Paul meets and fights a new enemy, this demon inside the body of this young girl. Now, so far, Paul has met the opposition of synagogue worshipers, from city officials, and even from women officials. But here he meets the devil. And as Dr. Paisley would preach, he meets the devil in a skirt. And in this young woman, there is the power of darkness at work. And so we see this new dimension in preaching the gospel. Hell is opposed to your soul's salvation. You need to learn that. You need to know that if you're a believer. Hell is out to destroy your soul. You need to know that if you're not a Christian. You need to know that if you have never given your heart to the Savior. Without Jesus, you are vulnerable. Without Jesus, you have no Savior. Hell's jaws are wide open, and you will fall prey to the very devices of Satan. And so any gospel worker is stepping into the battlefield to meet hell's forces. But sadly, we seem to forget that. When did you last hear a sermon about the devil? When did you last hear a sermon about hell wide open to receive sinners? We go to sleep on this reality. Even though we have in the Bible, Ephesians 6, the Christian armor, even though we have that great allegory in Pilgrim's Progress of Christian fighting Apollyon, even though we have the book of Revelation where Satan is allowed to deceive the nations for a time, and even though we have the history of our very first parents, Adam and Eve in the garden, seduced by the devil, temptation brought them down to the curse. And even though with Christ's ministry, facing hellish opposition all through his earthly ministry, right to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus sweat in prayer and he labored in prayer, fighting the devil that he might go to the cross, we still forget that the devil is the enemy of the gospel. And I think that we become naive and we become complacent about the real battle that we are in. We all love niceties. We all like nice, pleasurable stories and those things that tickle our ears and our imagination. But the gospel is a battlefield, and the forces of darkness are at work. The Lord Jesus taught us that the devil is ruthless. And he taught that except those days were shortened, that's those days of the devil's working against the church, except those days were shortened, that no one would be saved. I won't take time now to read Revelation 12 that speaks about the opposition of Satan against the church, going out like a flood against the woman. But if you do read that, you will see very clearly that right to the end of time, Satan is a hostile foe against the church of the Lord Jesus. Now today, from this story and this account of this young damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, we will seek to learn a few things. Firstly, Satan's methods of attack. You'll notice in verse 16, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us." Do you note the timing? Do you note what the church was doing when the devil attacked? As they went to prayer. And just as a thief, the first thing he wants to do when he seeks to rob a home, he cuts off the power. And that's what the devil seeks to do in the church. He seeks to attack and distract the church from the place of prayer. As the church goes to prayer, the devil attacks. And he is seeking to distract you and me and the whole church from that ministry of prayer. In that chapter of the Christian armor in Ephesians 6, the apostle ended up with calling God's people to watch in prayer. And you and I have to watch our prayer lives. We have to guard it. We have to be sure that we don't let our guard down, because the devil loves it when Christians become careless and prayerless. He sees his opportunity. But when Christians come together to pray, well, the devil trembles when he sees Christians upon their knees. Now, Satan wants the numbers at the prayer meeting to be reduced, and he wants the spirit of prayer to be diminished. You know that thought, oh yes, I'll go to the prayer meeting, but I'll just take a back seat. I'll not get too engaged or involved. Let someone else carry the burden of prayer and you just float along. Well, that's the devil's joy. He's happy whenever you are in that frame of mind. Now also notice that Satan's second method of attack is confusion. Confusion is a very strong weapon that the devil uses. Now, the confusion is that this young woman, possessed by the devil, she's got this spirit of divination, she's given herself over to Satan's work, and she shouts out in verse 17, she followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." That's like your arch enemy saying you're a good person. That's just sowing the seeds of confusion. In one hand, she is doing the devil's work, and now she is trying to stir and mix things in and muddy the waters, and it is a spirit of confusion. Satan seldom works without a little grain of truth or without some aspect of truth in the lie. It's like that rat bait that you buy, bacon-flavored whole grain. And rats love it, just the flavor, but all the while it is poison. And of course, the devil, he uses the truth a little bit that he might lead people to the lie. Now, God is never the author of confusion. He is the God of truth. He's the God of peace. And Satan, he mixes error with truth. And so we need to be ever on our guard that we keep to the sure foundation of God's word and truth. We are to keep clear lines of biblical separation. Don't let your testimony be tarnished. Don't let anyone draw you into some compromise with the enemy of the gospel. And we need to therefore be on our guard. So there are the devil's methods of attack. He is sowing confusion. And what was the first one that we mentioned? The spiritual life of the church at prayer. If he can render the church prayerless, he'll win the day. If he can sow the seeds of confusion, he will make the ministry of the church ineffective. And we need to be on our guard. Then we see also here God's might to deliver. This is not the end of the story, because when this young girl was trying to sow her seeds of confusion, Paul stopped her. He rebuked her. It says there in verse 18, Paul being grieved. Oh, you can see this man of truth say, no, this is not right. We can't allow this. This young woman is trying to undermine and pull the carpet from under our feet as ministers of Christ and of declaring the gospel. And they were unhappy with it. And they turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Now note something, that the Apostle Paul did not command this evil spirit in his own name. He did not claim that he had any power of his own, but he used and pleaded the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus. And in his name, she was cast out. And so she was delivered. This young girl was delivered from that demon. And you'll see in verse 19 that it was obvious that the devil went out of her, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, it was obvious. And so this mighty work was done. Now the apostles in the first century were promised power and gifts to overcome these things. They were promised in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, that when they would go forth, they would cast out devils, that they would raise the sick, and that if they were to take any poisonous thing, that they would withstand it. Now, those were gifts that were unique to the apostles in their day. And here is Paul exercising this gift of casting out the devil from this young woman. But I want you to know that those gifts were not passed on in the second century. They were not given to the later second generation preachers and leaders in the church. You will never read of Timothy or Titus performing such a miracle. They ceased with the apostles. Notwithstanding their claims to be the successor of Peter, popes do not have these gifts. Do you know of any pope that has ever dared to drink poison, or any charismatic leader who claims to have these gifts and he will willfully drink poison, saying, I will be immune to this? Not at all. Not at all. I referred a little to Martin Luther's great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, because Martin Luther, the German reformer, fought the devil head on. You know the stories of Satan's attacks against Luther. He was in the Wartburg Castle translating the German, the Latin Bible into German for his people. And he was so conscious of the devil's attack that he took the very inkwell and he splashed that ink against the wall because he was conscious of Satan fighting against him. But Martin Luther and the Protestant reformers never claimed to be apostles. They never claimed to have the gifts of individual miraculous healing. They never claimed to have the gifts of speaking in tongues or other languages. They never claimed that they could take poison and be immune to it. And they never attempted at casting demons out of bodies. This is first century apostolic power that was unique to those men. But that doesn't mean that we don't get the victory over the devil. We accept that Christ came into the world and defeated the devil, that at the cross, the Lord Jesus spoiled principality and power. And yes, we plead the name of Jesus today and the blood of the Lord Jesus to keep us safe from the devil's work. And the church should go on praying against the evil works of Satan. And at our prayer meetings, I often say, we don't pray against the devil enough. We fall asleep. become complacent, and we pray for those daily things we need, which are right and proper, but we've got to remember that we have an ancient foe that is seeking to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus. And in the book of Jude, which is a book of warning, we are reminded that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, that's your responsibility. The devil wants you to fail in that one. He wants you to grow cold, grow weary, grow distracted, shorten your prayer times, and keep your praying just to temporal things. Praying for your food, your clothing, your bills, your general decisions of life. And that's right and good. But when you start praying against the powers of hell at work against the gospel, then you're on a different level. And we're called upon to pray to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now, to encourage you in this responsibility, you'll notice in Jude 24 that while we seek or are responsible to keep ourselves, the Lord will keep us. Verse 24 in Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So praise God, the devil cannot destroy you. The devil cannot destroy either your salvation or your home in heaven. It's secure. Because while you keep yourself, God is keeping you. And that's a great comfort and a great assurance. And when you pray, Lord, not only will you give me grace to do what's right, but Lord, I pray that you do what you must do, that I be kept in this world, pressing on from God.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Reverend Larry Saunders is the minister, in Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister, in Barrie, where Reverend Anthony DiDerno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you, so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.